All right, good morning, everyone. It's Friday, the day after the 10th Republican debate. It's not really a debate, Joey. It's more like a cage fight. In fact, I think the American people would rather see that than another debate at this point. And so I wanted to find an article that didn't relate to a debate, something that related to something more important. And this one came off the Gospel Coalition website. It says, 10 Common Ways Churches Get Off Mission. And I thought, what a great article to sit down and talk to you about, because, what, you've been in 50 churches? What's the count? 45 maybe?
Right now we're probably about 30.
30 churches, yeah. Made hundreds of phone calls, mm-hmm. looked at, what, 150, 200 websites?
Yeah, lots of websites, probably more than that.
Yeah. And this one says, 10 Common Ways Churches Get Off Mission. Of course, the question would become, what is the mission of the church? And he doesn't necessarily engage that question. So how would you answer that before we get into his 10 points? Joey, what's the mission of the church?
Well, I think Matthew 28 would sum it up, that we're to go into all the world and make disciples through the preaching of the gospel. And ultimately, that glorifies God. So I would say glorify God, preach the gospel, make disciples.
So he says, the Lord has called his people to be on a gospel mission for the sake of his glory. Most church folk will readily acknowledge this, and yet many churches have drifted away, often subtly, from thinking of themselves as missionaries in their respective communities and beyond. Here are some common ways churches engage in mission drift. All right, number one, they overprogram. In this way, we mistake activity for mission and busyness for fruitfulness, and while Christians fellowshipping and doing life with each other is important, some churches fill the calendar with so many programs and meetings, etc., that their people have little to no margin to be on mission. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think there's two ditches here. I think that the more that the church is actively involved in drawing people to its campus, the more it can be fulfilling that mission of discipleship. So we do a lot of things here at Breen, but the ultimate goal is fellowshipping and discipling, which is part of the church's mission.
Well, Joey, the people right now are reaching through the their phones and saying, we're supposed to be out there. We're supposed to be out there, engaged in our community. We're not supposed to bring them here. What are your thoughts on that idea?
Well, you are supposed to be out there, engaged in your community, and then you bring them to church. That's what you do. You meet some guy for coffee, a guy that you work with, a lady that is next to you at the bank teller, and you say, hey, can you come to my church this Sunday? And then you're bringing them in, and they hear the gospel preached, or you share the gospel with them, they believe, and then they start coming and they get discipled. It doesn't have to happen just at church, but I think that's a great place for it to happen.
There seems to be the idea that in the New Testament they didn't do it that way, so we're not supposed to be doing it that way.
Yeah, they met together in Acts 2. They met together regularly as a corporate entity, and even though maybe they didn't meet in the structures like we have today, they still met together at a assigned location.
Yeah, it's interesting, and when you turn the chapter to chapter 3 after that amazing chapter 2, you realize that they go to a place of prayer. They go to the temple. They're going to a religious location. Number 2, they pour all their energy into the weekend service. For many churches, the extent of their weekly thinking, planning, strategizing, or strategy, creativity, etc., is channeled into the production of the weekend gathering. They justify this inward focus by trying to design this service as evangelistically and seeker-minded as possible, but it effectively turns the go and tell of mission into the come and see of attraction. Go and tell is referring to go ye into all the world. Mm-hmm. And it seems to have this impression that you're just leaving, 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 leaving. Yet I understand that some would argue that that's as you're going or as you're doing life. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's right. One of the things that I try to emphasize when going to churches is that as you're living your everyday life, you're meeting people, you're getting contacts, you're going to the gas station like Bill does, to the same gas station over and over again for the point of telling. While you're doing life, while you're getting gas, while you're working, while you're coaching your kids' t-ball team, you are going and telling.
What about this? Did any of the churches you visit have a single weekend service?
A single weekend, like just one service?
Yeah, it seems to be this is the idea. They pour all their energy into the weekend service.
Yeah, I would say a number of churches, I couldn't give you a number off the top of my head, but a lot of the churches we go to do just one service a week.
Yeah, that seems to be a new trend.
Yeah.
No Wednesdays?
Yeah, a lot of them don't do Wednesdays. It may be because they don't have a building anymore, but they don't do Wednesdays. They don't do Sunday night. I'd say a lot of them are doing Wednesday nights. Most of them are still doing Wednesday night, but some of them aren't.
In a cell group?
Yeah, they'll do something like a cell group, meet outside of the church. Yeah. Church we were in last Sunday, that's what they do, cell group.
All right, number three, they use too much insider lingo. The church service is in particular, is biblically for the Christian, but the New Testament still tells us it ought to be intelligible to outsiders. Some churches communicate only inside baseball in their services and groups so that it becomes difficult for the interested unbeliever to follow and seek to understand. Is that really true?
I don't think so anymore. I mean, I think if there's anything, there's a lack of biblical terminology used in the church. And when I know we're really good, you're really good, especially at when we use those words, defining those words. But yeah, I don't know that this is an issue. I don't think it is, but it could just be because
of the circles we're in.
Yeah, yeah.
Number four, they are just plain unwelcoming. We all know about churches that don't acknowledge visitors. There are also community groups that don't have an open door for curious unbelievers and other visitors. There are people who look down their noses if someone is in their parking space or pew. Some church communities just aren't interested in growing or reaching out. What do you think?
I don't think anyone is purposely not interested. I mean, I don't know that anyone that says, hey, we don't want our church to grow. There may be things that they're doing to hinder that, but I don't, we've been to a couple churches where we really didn't feel welcome and we were their guest. It wasn't necessarily because of the pastoral staff, but it was because of the people in the church. We're a little different, though, because they know we're coming.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm sure that is a problem in churches because people get in their little circles. You talk a lot about cell phones. They're on their phone.
I think that's the major issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what other churches, but I watch our church, and they are glued to that thing. Mm-hmm. Until you practically have to. Look, we did a program last night here. It was a patriotic military appreciation 1-hour program. First graders through fifth graders. It was amazing. They did a great job. We did the Pledge of Allegiance. The whole audience stood and we pledged allegiance. I'm to my left flank watching this guy and he just can't put his phone down, Joey, to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, you see this internal struggle where he looks and then he knows he's supposed to be paying attention to the Pledge of Allegiance and then he looks and then he looks at the Pledge of Allegiance and he wants to have his hand in his heart but he never gets there because he's got to hold his phone. I mean, it's just unbelievable the degree that this thing has become this giant idol.
Yeah, it's definitely an idol.
Distracting pit of hell kind of a device.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a man, your wife can bring the phone to church and you can leave your wife. We went out to dinner last night. I left my phone at home by accident, but it turned out to be a really good thing because for an hour, I wasn't distracted at all. And she had access,
the babysitter could get a hold of you guys.
We took the boys with us, but I mean, if there was an emergency, somebody could get a hold of Candace.
Right.
But yeah, when we go out to dinner and we have a babysitter, I say, you bring your phone in, I'll leave my phone in the car.
Yeah.
It's more of a temptation for me than it is for her.
Number six. They're stuck in the past, culturally speaking. The churches look frozen in time. While there are lots of rich things from our history and tradition worth holding on to, having a church that looks like it stepped out of time machine in the 1970s probably isn't it. Some churches are so committed to preserving how they've always been, they cannot adequately contextualize the gospel for their communities today. True or false?
I would say there's some truth to that. I'm thinking of a church in our town that advertises that they're old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing Baptist, and I'd like to say to that church, your people that you're trying to reach that aren't already going to your church, most of them, 95% of them, maybe more, don't give a flip about that sort of stuff.
Yep.
That's not where they're at anymore.
So you're saying that you don't think that unsaved people are looking for a King James-only, old-fashioned hymns?
No, I don't think it does anything to appeal to them. You're trying to reach such a niche audience. And you just can't even get to that group. So if you're just trying to get Christians to come to your church, most of them aren't going to identify with that. if you're going to try to grow your church and have people there to be doing discipleship. So
I think they're appealing to a particular demographic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's so small that you can't even begin to... You're just wasting your time.
They're trying to recreate the past. Some churches have moved on from the past, but are desperate to get it back. But a church can kill its future by constantly trying to recapture the, quote, good old days, end quote, mainly because this inward focus and also because outsiders, visitors, and lost don't care one bit about your church's good old days. Agree or disagree?
I would say in most part that's probably true. Not everyone is, but some of them are, yeah.
Number 8, they are preoccupied with social justice causes, but not doctrine.
There's definitely a lot of that in the church today. You know, there has to be a balance of reaching into the community, but you can really get off focus with that.
Meeting people's felt needs and addressing systematic cultural ills can be biblical and valid implications of the gospel, but a lot of churches forget the gospel part. They trade in the primary purpose of the gospel for its implications. This is a particularly deceptive mode to be in because socially conscious churches look like they're on mission, but if the gospel is not at the center of what they do, it's not God's mission that we're on. And Joey, I would say that most people in the pew don't know the gospel.
No, they do not. And we know that from doing membership interviews here. When they come in and we say, what's the gospel? The answers are all over the place.
Yep, they're everywhere. Number 9, they are doctrinally rigorous but socially withdrawn. The opposite of the above problem, that would be number 8. These churches are hearers of the word only. Sometimes they are so suspicious of social justice and the social gospel that they'd rather die than be caught making a concerted effort to care for the poor, the widow, or the orphan. Also true or not so much?
Maybe in some of these reform circles, these Presbyterian circles, they're probably more like that. But I think most churches are not doctrinally rigorous. So I know he's just trying to give reasons, but... I do think we're socially withdrawn, whether it's because of doctrine or fear or pride or we're just too busy. We're definitely withdrawn.
I think the digital addiction has us socially withdrawn.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most people are just intimidated to carry on a conversation. If you could text with the guy in the pew behind you, you could probably start a relationship. But because that just seems so ridiculous to text to the guy behind me, then I don't even talk to them because I'm more comfortable texting than I am talking, but I can't just text the person behind me, so we don't do anything.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in a pew, and I'm texting with someone that's in another church, in another city, or even across the street, or even in another room in the campus.
Yep.
But I can't have a conversation like this.
Yeah, in my street that I live on, I am the only parent that plays outside with my kid. The other parents don't come outside with their kids. Their kids play in the yard by themselves.
But nope, you don't see parents out there.
No, they don't usually come out and watch their kids. And some of their kids are older than Hutch, you know, whatever. But they're not there. They're very withdrawn. They come in, shut the garage, and they hide.
Yep. And then they connect with people on the internet.
Yeah, on Facebook that live in Seattle or Texas or Alabama.
Right. Yeah. And they don't know their neighbor.
Nope.
They are divided, number 10, they are divided or otherwise riddled with conflict and power plays. Some churches are fertile ground for power-hungry folks or divisive personalities jockeying for position. In many of these churches, the leaders may be interested in kindling kingdom mission, but find that so much of their energy is occupied with mediating arguments, managing contentious members' meetings, defending themselves, or just trying to keep the peace. In these cases, people have forgotten what a church is even for. Again, true or false?
Yeah, there's probably some truth to that. You know, I'm sure that you get the brunt of that more than the other guys do here, but especially when it comes to marriages.
Yeah, I would say that the fact that many preachers are in churches less than 2 or 3 years is an indication of number 10.
Yeah.
And if you don't stay somewhere, Joey, there's no hope of becoming productive.
No, you can't do anything in 3 years.
No.
You can't gain their trust in 3 years.
No, you have to plant yourself somewhere and just be committed that this is where I'm staying for the rest of my life. This moving around is killing the effectiveness of the church. Yes. So that was 10 common ways churches get off mission. from the Gospel Coalition website. I hope that was edifying and encouraging to you. What about your church? Is there a way that your church is off mission? Thanks for listening. Have a great day.